السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to Sahaba Profiles. Today we discuss the life story of Ja'far bin Abi Talib رضي الله عنه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had famously spoken about him at the time of his martyrdom, where he had lost both his hands in the Battle of Tabuk, that Allah had replaced him with wings and he was flying in Jannah. And he was the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the brother of Ali bin Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu. The scholars have written that from the ancestry of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were five people who resemble the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They looked very similar to him. The one was Abu Sufyan bin Harith bin Abdul Muttalib, who was the cousin, the son of the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was also the milk brother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was a lot of similarity in the features of Abu Sufyan bin Harith and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second was a son of Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, and he was also the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The third was Sa'ib bin Ubaid bin Abdul Yazid bin Hashim. He was the an ancestor of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. He was the third person who also resembled the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the fourth was his grandson Hassan bin Ali radiyallahu an, and he resembled the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the most. Hassan radiyallahu an resembled the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the most. And the fifth that the scholars speak of, the five, was Ja'far bin Abi Talib. And he, as I mentioned, the brother of Ali bin Abi Talib radiyallahu an, and also the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, his story is a very interesting one. We know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was indebted to Abu Talib, his uncle who looked after him. Now, after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had matured and he had become independent, what happened was that there was a drought that had afflicted the people of Makkah. And Abu Talib was a person who had a lot of children. He had a big family, and financially he was struggling. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took pity on him, and he went to his uncle Abbas, and he said, "Abbas, my uncle, your brother Abu Talib is suffering. He's got a big family. Why don't we make it easy for him? Why don't we go to him and you take one of his children into your care, and I will take another one of his children into my care, and like that we'll ease the burden on him." So Abbas radiallahu anhu liked this idea of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they went to Abu Talib. So Abu Talib said, "Look, my son Aqil, leave him with me. The rest then you decide who you want to take." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took Ali bin Abi Talib, and Abbas radiallahu anhu took Ja'far bin Abi Talib. So Ja'far bin Abi Talib then went with Abbas radiallahu anhu, and he lived with him and grew up in his care until he became independent, and he accepted Islam also not long after he had matured and he had become independent on the hands of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. On the other hand, Ali radiallahu anhu, he grew up in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was the first amongst the youth, as we know, to have accepted Islam. Now, Ja'far bin Abi Talib, after he accepted Islam, he married a woman known as Asma bint Umais radiallahu anha. Her story is also a very fascinating story. And they accepted Islam in the early days. Ja'far accepted Islam in the early days, even before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started teaching at Dari Arqam. Now, he and his wife were amongst the early group of Muslims, and they were under a lot of pressure from the Quraysh. They were being persecuted, they were being tormented, they were being marginalized, they were put through difficulty upon difficulty. And that is when Ja'far bin Abi Talib asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if he, his wife, and a few others could make hijrah, and they could migrate to Abyssinia. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them permission. So they were the first group that went towards Habasha, that went towards Ethiopia. And Ja'far bin Abi Talib was the Amir, he was the group leader. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them permission to go and to migrate. And when they came to Abyssinia, that's the first time that they knew some peace in their lives. They were totally left alone. They were given their space by Najashi, by the Abyssinian king. No one interfered with them. No one wanted to know what they believed or why they believed what they believed. No one questioned. No one objected. They could worship Allah. They could enjoy themselves in terms of application and exertion of ibadah. They didn't have to watch their backs. They didn't have to look over their shoulders all of the time. And they really settled in there. They really settled in there, and they really got used to the climate in Abyssinia, the climate of peace, the climate of tranquility, the climate of serenity. Now, when this happened, the mushrikeen of Makkah, the polytheists back in Makkah, they became somewhat perturbed. They started thinking to themselves that our brothers have gone there and they're enjoying themselves there. There's a lot of stability there. They've been given space there. And you know what? They're going to grow strong there. and then they're going to come back and they're going to try and remove us, and they'll become a bigger problem for us. So they sent two very strong personalities, Amr bin As, who later accepted Islam, radiallahu anh, and Abdullah bin Abi Rabi'ah. They send them both to Najashi, to go to Najashi and say, look, send these people back with us. These people are rebels. These people are people who have turned their backs on the deen and the religion of their forefathers. They don't subscribe to any of the religions that people subscribe to these days. They've come with something totally new. They are troublemongers. It's not good for you to keep them here. Let us take them back. We are their families. We are their tribesmen, and we will deal with them. So when these two people pitched up in Habasha, in Abyssinia, Amr bin As radiallahu anh and Abdullah bin Abi Rabi'ah, naturally, the Muslims were there and who were really living in peace and living in tranquility and enjoying the space that was given to them to worship Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they became very perturbed. They realized now that matters had reached a very sensitive stage, and it could take a turn for the worse. It could turn really ugly for them. And what happened thereafter is very interesting. And history has written this and recorded this. And there's great lesson in what happened thereafter. But we will discuss that and continue the discussion in the next edition of Sahaba Profiles. From myself, Sunayman Ravid, until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.